Let's begin with some questions. What if I told you that truth is immutable? What if I told you that it isn't fluid and doesn't adjust to the times we live in? What is the barometer you would use to answer these questions? There are so many conduits in this world we live in vying for your attention, attempting to define and redefine truth at every turn. These outlets are constant in their pursuit for your soul, looking for your participation to accept its standard of truth. The verity of the Word of God is the only standard that matters and never changes. This eternal truth is the only truth that is perpetual and invariable, whether you believe it or not. Making the choice to rely and depend upon it as the authority in your life will bring you closer to your purpose and align you with its verity. This is the only decision for you to make if abiding in the truth is your life's aim. Please join me on this episode of the Spoken Verity podcast as my co-host and I speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God in love. Praise the Lord and welcome to our time of fellowship, TSA family. Prayerfully, you've been having a great day or week and you're ready to commune with us. If this is your first time joining us, allow me to specially welcome you to the family. I am Remy Sozo Eko, and by His grace, I have the privilege of leading our conversation today with my friend that sticks closer than a brother, the Reverend Wale Harris III. Rev, as always, it's a joy and a blessing when we get together to share the verity, which is the living Word of God in love.
Amen, brother. It is. I'm so excited to talk and to share what Holy Spirit has put on my heart. And I know you are the same, because this topic that we're going to enumerate today is vital.
Yes.
In terms of the understanding for a believer in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Yes. A Christian's relationship with the culture. What does that look like? So much to get into. But first, here's with family. One of the many blessings that we're constantly grateful for is that you faithfully tune in to your favorite podcast and for allowing us to be a part of your devotional time. Now, let us corporately enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. Thank you for another opportunity to come together and speak your word. Thank you for this episode focused on a Christian's relationship with the culture. We are in the world, but not of the world. You, through your Son, sent us into the world. So we have that mandate. Then how do we operate within that? We come now to sit at your feet, asking for wisdom, that you would open the eyes of our understanding. And we offer up our vocal cords, our thinking faculties, all of it to you. None of the Rev and I, all of you. Thank you for the listeners that you've called to this episode. Thank you for our faithful listeners, as well as those that are joining us for the first time. Thank you for those who work behind the scenes to make this come to life. Now, Lord God, we are ready. Come speak. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, brother.
Rev, episode 65 deeply examined the tongue with the focus question, are you speaking life or death? The Spirit led you to present that topic for our communion time. And within that framework, we delineated how our tongue reflects the health of our entire being, what followers of Jesus Christ can do to control the words we speak, and how our tongues also produce life and death. Please share some highlights from that episode for members of the family who may have missed it.
Thank you, brother. Friends, in our 65th edition of your favorite podcast, as my brother said, our tongues took center stage. Yes, the unruly member, as it is described in Scripture, that cannot be tamed by men without the Spirit of God directing and leading the control of it. The health of your whole being, spirit, soul, and body is evidenced by the words that come out of your mouth. Your heart, housed in your soul, is the fountain where your mind draws from, and from where you speak out of your mouth. What is the condition of your heart? Have you allowed in your own life the heart cleaning and spirit renewal David asked God for in Psalms 51:10? You answer that question by listening to yourself when you speak. The words you hear will demonstrate to you how much of this life process you are participating in. You see, friends, our tongues are simply facilitating what is in our hearts. To think or speak against this truth in any manner is contrary to Scripture. It is a prideful position. What we think, speak, and subsequently do is tied to our diligence in this dual realm kingdom work. I thank God for Holy Spirit leading us in our life's journey during these last days for us to understand the importance of guarding our mouths and our hearts with all diligence. Community, it is such a blessing for us to bring you the truth that is the Word of God each week, which will aid, by the grace of God, your continued conforming process to the image of Jesus Christ. And as you listen again to our 65th conversation, or if you're listening for the first time, allow Holy Spirit to do His cleansing work on your heart, which is a part of your whole being, so that you will speak the truth that is the Word of God to all who come in your sphere of influence with boldness, clarity, and conviction. It is our God's will for you. Brother Sozo.
Thank you, Rev. Tears with Family. If you have missed any of the episodes from 62, 63, 64, and now 65, we implore you to listen to it on whichever platform you're listening to us right now. The downloads for the audio is available on our website and the show notes as well. Thank you, Rev. TSV Family, these are the words of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, as recorded in three separate passages of Scripture. First, in John 17:18, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Then in John 20:21, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And finally, in Mark 16:15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. As we can see, followers of Jesus Christ are on a mission as mandated by our sovereign King to go into the world and fulfill his kingdom agenda. We are to function within society, in our families, neighborhoods, places of learning, and work. We are to actively engage the various earthly cultures into which we've been sent. Some might even say we are to embrace the culture, and rightfully so. However, Christ also stated in John 17, verse 16, that we are not of this world, just as he is not of this world. Again, this is verity. So how do we relate to and recognize the culture without becoming either indistinguishable from it or inaccessible from it? What is the functioning role of a Christian within the culture? And also within that role, what are the rules of engagement, if you will? How can we ensure that we're not being led by the culture? TSV Family, you know how we do. If you haven't yet and you are able to, please go get your Bibles and journals and let's feast on the living bread as I invite my friend to the mic. Rev, kick off our conversation today by first sharing any insights the Holy Spirit has placed in your heart during my opening monologue and subsequently answer the focus question for our first segment. What is the role of Christians in culture?
Thank you, Sozo. Well, your opening as always is laying out for our TSV audience the communion table on which we're going to partake of this nourishment in, and the understanding of the connection in terms of what a Christian does when operating in this world is so important for our understanding and what we can kind of put in our toolbox, if you will, because the end game is winning souls. And that's what this is about. That's the leaning here. You enumerated that, you opened up with that, and that's really where I'm going to land here as I open my answer to this question. What is the role of Christians in culture? Now, when I first saw this question come across, in truth, brother, my first inclination was to say that we as believers in Jesus Christ don't have a role in the culture because we are not of the culture. So your question says in culture, and my understanding of it was that initially. But as I continued listening with Holy Spirit to see where he wanted me to land here, he led me here. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. So we don't live as the world lives. We live as our Lord and Savior did, humbly serving those in love that we are sent to, or that are sent to us by the direction of Holy Spirit. This is the role of a believer in Jesus Christ. So since we are in this world, which is synonymous with the culture, TSV family, we must be leading the world to Christ by the leading of the Spirit of God. So this is our role within the culture, the world that we live in. We are not here to conform to the culture. We are here to lead the culture,
come on,
the world, to Christ by the leading of the Spirit of God. That established, remember, friends, that not all who we speak and teach the word of God to in the world will come to the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ. Two passages of scripture for this. Proverbs 16:4 from the King James. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. 1 John 2:19-20. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. As representatives of Christ in the world, we think, speak, and act as directed by the Spirit of God, rooted in his word. We go where we are sent. However, not all among us are of us, as scripture says. Who are these antichrists John is referencing? They are the ones who have an appearance of godliness among us that attempt to replace Christ in the lives of believers by distracting and disrupting their conforming to the truth through appealing to the flesh. They aim to deceive believers. However, deception cannot stand up to the light of the truth, and that light exposes them as the opposers of Christ that they are. Now, Sozo, I'm keeping my answer relatively brief here because I sent some back and forth as to our conversation for this first segment.
Thank you, Rev. I always love that verse in Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. That's what we've been called to do. As I stated in my opening, which you also alluded to, that's the kingdom agenda. That's how we've been sent. The idea is not for us to go into the world and become like the world. No, we are transformative agents, as you'll see here now when I step into my contribution to this first segment. Thank you so much, Rev. TSV family, the kingdom agenda of our sovereign God is to visibly manifest his comprehensive rule over all areas of life. We followers of Jesus Christ are not called to just observe the culture of this fallen world and point out areas where it comes up short. Rather, our role is to be transformational agents operating within it, like I just stated. A few verses into his Sermon on the Mount, as recorded in Matthew chapter 5, starting from the 13th verse, these are the words of our risen Lord and Savior. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Let's focus on two phrases in that passage of scripture. You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. Salt and light. One of the many, many, many things I love about Christ is the practicality of how he taught us as recorded in the Bible. TSV family, we don't need a definition of salt or light, do we? That should be basic knowledge. However, let's elaborate on these two concepts as transformative agents and tie them into our roles within the culture. Salt. Several passages of scripture testify to the unrestrained workings of evil in mankind, especially in those whom haven't been redeemed from their sin nature. Let's look at two quickly. First, in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespass and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Then in Titus 3, verses 3 through 7, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." Now, when we, followers of Jesus Christ, act as the salt of the earth, we are preserving it from corruption of sin and adding seasoning to the dryness and bloodiness of life in this fallen world. As we all know, when we add salt to any meal, it positively influences the flavor. We, in like manner, are called to positively influence the culture by preserving truth in a fallen world, to season the tastelessness of all pervading carnality. Let's look at light. Again, another simplistic analogy from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. However, in this case, there's some revelation to expound upon. The Word of God reveals to us that Christ is the light of the world. We see this verity in John chapter 1, verse 3. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And then in John chapter 8, verse 12, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." When we shine with his light in alignment with his indwelling spirit and having the same mind which was also in him, we are being like him who is the light of the world. No one can dispute the presence of light, especially in the world filled with darkness. It provides direction, allowing others to see the right path to take, like my brother initially stated, leading people to Christ, pointing them down the right path. As followers of Jesus Christ, we must have a visible impact on the culture, and we shouldn't be living as secret agents and hiding from the world. TSV family, the question now is, are you a light among your friends and acquaintances, the people who really, really know you? Are you a light at the gym, your school, or your place of business? I'll close my contribution to this first segment and let my brother jump in by reading from Ephesians 5, verse 18. "For you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the world. Walk as children of light." Amen. Rev, any fresh revelation from Holy Spirit that you would like to share?
You said agents of Christ. I said representatives of Christ. This distinction of ours in the world is representative of the amount of the truth we allow ourselves to walk in. We are believers in Jesus Christ, but not everyone is operating in the same truth.
Come on.
That God has displayed through Jesus Christ in his word. And so he can't use everybody to be able to lead the culture and to bring them to the knowledge of his son, because those that are his agents, his representatives, are not operating according to the mandate. And I know we're going to talk about that more in the second and third segment, but TSV family, as you're listening to our conversation, you need to know where you are with this. Mm. Are you operating as the full representative, or are you operating as a part-time agent? This is the place where we as believers in Jesus Christ must understand in honesty where we are, and then take it to Holy Spirit so that we can be used by him to win souls for the kingdom.
Thank you, Rev. Yes, because you now have Christians where certain people know you as Christians and certain people know you in a different light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. On Sunday, you're a Christian. Within your Christian friends, you're a Christian. But in other places, like, nah, you know, we don't really do that here. It's okay. Mm-hmm. We don't do all that. Nah, that's not what he's been called us to do. It's the entire life.
That's right.
That's how we are going to lead people, by living out the fullness of our life according to his word, the scripture. TSV family, our conversation on the Christian and the culture continues in this second segment as we now shift the focus from defining our roles to delineating our responsibilities within those roles. As detailed in our first segment, Christ used the metaphors of salt and light to represent our roles within the culture. But how are we to serve in these roles for the sake of the world? Rev, how should Christians engage with the culture?
Well, brother, first of all, we must engage the world by speaking the truth to them in love. If you don't speak the truth in love, it's not going to allow the opportunity to root into their hearts. That's what love does. It carries the truth into their hearts and roots it there because it's Holy Spirit doing the work. So this is how you engage with the world. Our love delivery of the truth in whatever manner and place Holy Spirit leads us to share will plant seeds of the truth into the hearts of unbelievers. Now, you may not think that, TSV family, but that's what's happening.
Yes.
They're seeds of the truth. The gospel of Jesus Christ is getting planted into their hearts. Now, those seeds may produce instantly when you first witness to them, or those seeds may embed in their hearts for future production. In either scenario, we must always speak the truth in love. Now, brother, that doesn't mean that we alter the truth message in any respect in order to make it palpable for those that hear it. And this is a major problem in the church today. We are attempting to do Jesus' finished work. Only Holy Spirit can lead humanity to Christ. Only Christ can save our triune beings, considering he has already paved the way through his death, burial, and resurrection for eternal life with our Heavenly Father. Our role is, in humility, to speak and teach the word of truth as he directs in Scripture. Our God will take it from there. John 14:10 from the New King James Version says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work." This is where we are, TSV family. You must speak the words that have been given to you by the Spirit of God, rooted in his word. That's how you lead in the culture. You don't do it based upon what they think or what they say and conform to it. That's what the enemy wants. He wants to control you that has the Spirit of truth on the inside of you so he can get you to do what he wants you to do, operating contrary to your divine nature. This is where he wants you to land, and this is what we're talking about today.
Yes.
Considering our dealings with the culture.
Yes.
Now, brother Sozo, we must also speak the truth in our engagement with the culture with boldness, confidence, clarity, and conviction. So why boldness and confidence? Let's read Mark 8:34-38 from the New Living Translation for the answer. And he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Brother, our boldness is demonstrated by the confidence in which we engage with the culture. We carry the truth in our hearts. We must be assured to know that Jesus Christ is coming back for us. So as we witness to the world, we must be bold and not ashamed and speak the gospel with confidence, knowing that it is the truth. That certainty is rooted in your knowing who you are in Christ. So why clarity? The enemy of our souls is the author of confusion. He aims to subvert the truth at every turn. When we don't speak the truth, specifically adding to or taking away from it, we open the door for confusion. This can take the form of enticing words of man's wisdom. Our position here as we interact with each other and the culture is found in 1 Corinthians 2, 4 through 7 from the NIV here. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. I close with conviction, Sozo. To be convicted in any respect is to be fully persuaded. It is a type of knowing, but really is a demonstrator of your knowledge and compels steadfastness in what you know. Nothing can move you from what you know is in the Word of God. Nothing can move you from your hope of the gospel you heard at your conversion. Unbelievers respond to someone who is convicted in what they believe. Even in their fallen state, they look for certainty. They look for conviction. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Brother, our full persuasion here, or lack thereof, is on immediate display to the world when we engage with them daily. As representatives of Christ, we must think, speak, and do what is said in the Word of God, demonstrating our love, our boldness, our confidence, our clarity, and our conviction of all things that pertain unto life and godliness. This is how we, as believers, interact with the culture. Brother Sozo.
Rev. Hallelujah. As always. We're in each other's notes, as you see now when I get into my response, but the truth as the foundation gives us the boldness and the conviction. Out of the truth, not out of our feelings and not about. Yeah, let me just get into my
come on with that. Yeah,
bro. It's mm-hmm. It's not based out of how we think, it's our knowledge, right? And then intimacy with Holy Spirit.
Right.
That's where, yeah, that's how we engage. I just read how he said, "I'm sending them, go into the world." We didn't send ourselves. So right. How do we get in now? And we want to now decide how this works. We want to placate certain people. Is that what he said? Like when somebody sends an errand, he's telling you, "Hey, go to Dallas." You're like, "Well, no, instead of going to Dallas, I can go to Florida and get this." Like, really? Is that mm-hmm. what you were told? The instruction was to go to Dallas. And this is how, but yeah.
Let me, we don't understand authority though, brother. That's the piece. That right there. where we were sent to go, we decided to do what we wanted to do. Yes. Now, we may have even went where he told us to go, but we didn't what he told us to do.
Yes.
So either way, you're still not operating as a representative.
Yes.
You're still not operating as the man of God that
yes.
he called you to be in order to lead the culture to him.
Yes. Yes.
So, yes, when you're doing that, you have to do it as directed, just like you speak the word of truth as written. You don't have the authority. You don't have the power to change it.
No.
So when you do it, you're not changing it. It's just perversion because you're speaking it that's outside of what the word of God has said. So TSV family, you need to understand this because this is what the enemy of our souls does. He perverts everything. He can't change the truth, so he perverts it.
Yes.
That's what he does attempts to do with your gender and your sexuality and all these other places in life.
Yes.
Because your focus is on yourself.
Yes.
And not what God said.
Yes.
So let's stay with the truth.
Come on,
bro. Continue here, brother.
Yes. And again, before I get into my response, this is our conversation here. When the enemy comes to you with that question now, TSV family, did God really say you are only going to be able to answer it out of knowledge?
Come on. From your heart.
That's how, yes.
It. Yeah.
But when you don't know, when you have not planted it, you're like, well, yeah, I don't really think, you know, did the Bible really say that? You know, is what did the Bible? Yeah.
Yeah, you start questioning it. That's what he's looking for you to do.
Yes.
Yeah. You're not convicted. You have no root. This is where we can't be as believers in Jesus Christ.
No.
We have to know.
Yes.
We go from belief to knowing.
Knowing.
We gotta know.
Come on now.
That's how we can stand and walk and thrive in this natural realm as directed by the Spirit of God. Not
Come
thriving
on.
For pride for ourselves. Just see what I'm doing and see how I'm doing it.
Yeah.
No. As directed by the Spirit of God, because the end game is winning souls
That's
for
it.
The kingdom.
That's it.
That's what it's about.
That's
Amen,
it.
Brother.
Yes, sir. TSV family, let's go back to John chapter 17. This time, let's read from verse 15. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth.
Come on with that. Yes.
This is Christ.
Mm.
Bro, this is not a prophet. This is the Son of God.
Savior
declaring
of the world.
Your word is truth.
Mm.
Bro. He continues, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth, bro.
Yes, yes, yes.
We have said this several times on this platform, but it needs to be repeated again and again. The Bible is the manual for living life as a follower of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Period.
Period.
Anything out of it, I do not care where you get it from. Seven steps to this, five ways you can this. If it is not in the Bible, it is blasphemy. It is
Come on.
It is
Come on.
Against the will of God.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Nothing else. There's nothing else that can be said. We engage the culture as detailed in the Word of God because it is the only standard for truth, and we allow His Spirit to lead us. John 16, verse 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority. There we go. But whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. John chapter 14, 15 through 17. If you love Me, keep My commands, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you.
Amen.
Brother, a few verses down in that same 14th chapter of John, we find this. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. That is in verse 26. Colossians 3, 1 through 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek these things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Please review episode 30 of your favorite podcast, TSV Family, where we extensively detail the fruit of the Spirit and its 9 flavors, as that will provide some more revelation here with regards to engaging with the culture around you. My next point here about how we should engage with the culture is kind of introspective, right? John chapter 17 again, starting from verse 21. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. We Christians engage the culture around us by having love for each other, first of all, and being unified in purpose. This point, like I said, is introspective or navel-gazing, if you will, because it is up to us Christians to do this within ourselves as the body of Christ. Twice in that passage I just read, our risen Lord and Savior stressed the importance of our love for each other, which is expressed in our unity as a body, that the world may believe that you sent me, that the world may know that you have sent me. Christ is tying our need for unity to the power of our message as Christians. TSV family, we engage with the culture by immersing ourselves in his truth and having love and unity of purpose with other Christians. Rev, any fresh revelation from Holy Spirit you'd like to share?
1 John 4:17, the last part of it. As he is,
oh, come on,
so are we in this world. This is the proper posture, TSV family. Oh. As Jesus Christ is, he laid his life down for us.
Come on.
He sacrificed himself for the sins of the whole world.
Come on.
Now, we don't have the capacity to do that.
No.
But we do have the capacity to love as he loves,
yes,
by giving ourselves to his work,
come
to
on,
what he's doing in this natural realm to win souls for the kingdom of God.
Yes,
this posture, this position, this assignment, this mandate from our God here is specifically tethered to your salvation that you received when you received Jesus Christ.
Yes.
This is a part of your charge. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel.
Yes.
This is what we are to do. And the preaching doesn't necessarily have to be from a pulpit.
No.
It's how you live your life. As you said earlier, we're living epistles. Our lives are open books, whether we know it or not.
Come on.
How do you live Monday through Saturday and not just on Sunday?
Not Sunday.
When you see people outside of church that know you from church, do they still see the same man or woman that they see in church? Meaning you're operating according to the wisdom and the power and the authority and the direction of our God 7 days a week. What are you doing, TSV family? Remember, there is nothing that is hidden before God. So when you are standing out here and you're speaking and you're teaching, you must make sure that you are doing it as directed by the Spirit of God. This is how you engage with the culture. And when we answer this third question, Brother Sozo, this is going to show the posture, the position, the things that we can do that will keep us in this place.
Come
because
on.
The enemy is always trying to come and take the believer and pull him from that place to
position,
apostasy.
Bro.
He wants to get him out of the place that God has given him to apostatize and walk away from the faith. And that can be done. It's not God casting us out. That's us making the
choice,
prideful decision,
yes,
to operate against the word of God,
yes,
and to look and live and speak and think like the world, brother.
Rev, this is so true, because we start opening doors for him that shouldn't be there. And now as we cross into this last segment, TSV family, you'll see how we are supposed to protect ourselves while we're engaging. So far in our conversation on the Christian and the culture, we've discussed the role of Christians and culture and how should Christians engage with the culture around them. But we are in this world and not of this world, as we've stated. So we have to walk that tightrope now between relating to the culture around us and not being consumed by it. I'll invite my friend once more back to the mic. Rev, name three ways Christians can ensure they are not being led by the culture.
So my answer here will have some overlap,
yeah,
with the first two stanzas. Mm-hmm. However, it is appropriate for us to continue to reiterate the truth at every turn.
Yes.
We're never going to get tired of doing this and speaking this, because this is who we are.
Come on.
So TSV family, as you're listening to us, you're going to hear a lot of this stuff repeated, a lot of the truth repeated,
yes,
in every episode. Why? Because it's the truth. It has to root down into your spirit so it can produce God's nature and God's life on the inside of you. It's connecting you to the divine nature,
amen,
that we are partakers of when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.
Mm.
You need the truth. We,
yes,
need the truth. Mm. This keeps you, that piece right there, before I start my answer,
come on,
the truth.
Yes.
The love of God, it,
yes,
keeps the wicked one in his place, because you're not operating the way he operates. You're operating in the power, the love that he has given you. So as I begin my answer here, brother, we ensure we are not being led by the culture by not getting offended when we speak the truth to unbelievers.
Mm.
Now, this happens quite often in the life of a believer whose heart doesn't have a firm foundation in God's word. They attempt to defend the word with people as opposed to living and speaking it before them. The unbeliever's reaction to the truth triggers our offense. This is the world, TSV friends. They usually won't receive the truth initially because they are blinded to it by the enemy of our souls. That's what they do. That's who they are. The word will do its work through you if you let it. Holy Spirit will draw them to Christ if and when he sees fit. We in pride attempt to convince the world that we have the truth, but our offense when they oppose us is what takes center stage and allows them to escape from the truth and focus on your sin. Psalms 119:165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Peace comes from your love of God's word. You demonstrate that love by keeping his commandments. You don't leave the door open to offense when you operate in this posture of not getting offended when witnessing to the culture. And let me add, TSV family, if you're getting offended by their response, you don't understand your audience. They're an unbeliever. What do you expect? That they're going to open their arms to you and receive you immediately with,
yeah,
joy?
Mm-hmm.
When Paul went and was preaching in these pagan places in the world and the culture that was of the time, they literally stoned this man,
yes,
and threw,
yes,
him out.
Yes.
And what did he do? He said, this is but a light affliction, and went back in there and got his head whooped again. It didn't matter, because he knew what his call was.
Come on.
We get offended because somebody dares to say something back,
yeah,
against us.
Yeah.
You hold the truth.
Come on.
So it doesn't matter what they say.
Mm.
You continue to speak the word of God,
yes,
in love to,
yes,
them as written.
Yes.
He will do the work.
Come on.
It's not your job.
Yes.
We got to stay in our place, understand who we are here.
Yes.
Brother, we ensure we are not being led by the culture by not compromising what we know is true in the Word of God and letting it display in our lives.
Mm.
The culture loves to question the truth and present its version of truth, rooted in lies and deception. The enemy of our souls is pushing for us to compromise our stance concerning the truth of the Word of God, to be lukewarm in our lives, to be one way at church, supposedly, and another way with the culture.
Mm.
To compromise the truth is to sin against the truth. Your very faith in Christ comes into question when you compromise the truth to participate in the culture and its way of living. Two verses of scripture for this in James 4:17 from the Amplified. So any person who knows what is right to do, but does not do it, to him, it is sin. In the latter part of Romans 14:23, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever. Whatever is not of faith
is sin.
Come on. So now, when you are sent by Holy Spirit to speak to those that are unbelievers and you are not doing it in faith, you are operating in sin, even though you're out doing the work of God.
Come on.
You're operating in sin if you're not doing it in faith. If you're doing it in fear, you're operating in sin.
Come on.
Now, lastly, brother, we ensure we are not being led by the culture by keeping ourselves humble. And this is something that we must do. You have to keep yourself humble, understanding the mandate that you have and who you were sent by and what you've been charged to do. This, again, is understanding your place in humility to our sovereign God.
Come on.
Our God will not do his kingdom work through a prideful man. Let me repeat that. He will not do his kingdom work through a prideful man.
Come on.
It's not that he can't do it.
Yes.
He won't do it. He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Humble, come on.
That's why he won't do it, because he resists the proud. It's idolatry.
Bro.
I will have no other gods before me.
Come on.
Disobedience is pride, brother. When you know you are not doing what God has called you to do, regardless of the reason or excuse, you are in pride and have opened the door for the enemy of your soul. The culture recognizes pride instantly because that is the spirit it operates from.
Rage.
Humility is the antithesis of pride and is born out of the wisdom of God. I'm going to go back to something that I just said. When you know that you are not doing what the Word of God has called you to do, when you are not taking your position in your house, man of God, when you are not yielding to the authority of your husband, woman of God, when you are not speaking and teaching and preaching the word as written, thus handling the word of God deceitfully, shepherd of the house, these postures are in direct contradiction to the word of God. You are operating as an enemy of your own soul.
Come on.
When you do so. Brother, in 1 Peter 5:6, going back to humility being born out of the wisdom of God, scripture says to humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In James 3:13 from the NIV, we read, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Humility comes from wisdom, TSB family. The spirit of wisdom. We've had an episode on this. The understanding of where it comes from. Because you've submitted to the spirit of wisdom that then allows you to operate in humility.
Yes.
wisdom, submission, all of these words that people don't like to engage with because it requires the taking away of self. And this is not a place that we want to go, even as believers.
Yep.
The old man still attempts to rise up.
Yes.
We have to keep him in his place and know that this is done through humility. So that we are not being led by the culture when we don't operate in offense, when we don't compromise the truth, and when we walk in the humility that the spirit of wisdom births in our lives through our submissive actions to him. This is the mandated posture for a believer who is in this world and not of it.
Thank you, Rev. Yes. Holy Spirit, so good. Again, it's going to be like a switching of baton here now as I just go into my response, because it's so in aligned with where you left off. Tears with family. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your risen Lord and Savior, you belong to his eternal kingdom.
That's right.
Yes, we're raising families, going to school, having business transactions, living our lives within earthly cultures, and we also hold citizenship of earthly nations. But as a blood-bought, spirit-filled follower of Jesus Christ, our true citizenship is in heaven, and our sovereign God and his eternal kingdom should have our foremost allegiance.
Preach.
Rev, let's be very clear. He is not a ruler of any nation. He is sovereign and he has a kingdom, and we have to operate within the standards of his kingdom. Submitting to our sovereign means that we obey his word as found in the Bible. We do as we are told to do. Rev, Christ taught us this example in John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." In John chapter 5, verse 30, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." As I stated earlier, we're called to be transformative agents or representatives within the culture. And one of the ways we do so is when we engage with the culture in submission to the will of our sovereign King. Not the will of our Christian leaders or friends, not the will of any news media, conservative or liberal, but the will of God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, "And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever."
Yes.
Amen. Remember the verses I read in my opening monologue, John chapter 17, verse 18, John chapter 20, verse 21, and Mark chapter 16, verse 15. We were sent into the world by Christ. So we have to engage the culture knowing the will of God. Rev, the next part about how we engage the culture is following the leading of Holy Spirit. Now we're submitted, and then we now bring ourselves under his leadership, not leading ourselves, but bringing ourselves under his leadership for him to lead us. One of the important ways that we can recognize that we're being led by his spirit when we are engaging the culture is for us to be familiar with the word of God. As you said earlier, all of this kind of runs seamlessly from the first segment onto this segment, talking about truth. The Bible is the ultimate source of wisdom of how we should live our life. We see this in 2 Timothy 3:16. "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." Knowledge of God's word will help us to be able to discern how we should engage the culture being led by his spirit. The Bible also tells us that we should test the spirits to know which is true. Right? The Holy Spirit will never prod us to do anything contrary to the word of God. If it conflicts with the Bible, then we know it is not from the Holy Spirit and should be ignored. We talked about this earlier. I just referenced it again. This is nothing about those that have been called to be shepherds, but our allegiance is to God. So when you have the word of God in you, you can be able to detect if your shepherd is going astray and not just follow blindly. That is why it's important for you to even have your own devotional time, not just coming on Sunday and be like, okay, yeah, I checked this. You should be able to go back and research and find out what I just heard. Is this in alignment with truth? Is this from the word of God? My last point here about how we can ensure that we're not being led by the culture as we engage is through prayer. And in this context, I want you to think of yourselves as ambassadors, TSV family, because that's what you are, right? Mm-hmm. Now, prayer becomes this way that we communicate with home. The ambassador of, I've been opportune to live in two continents, two countries and all that, but I bring that into the conversation here because living in Nigeria and seeing how the ambassador of the US operates, it's totally different, right? Wherever that representative, that word now that you use comes into bear here, wherever that representative of the government of the United States is, it is assumed that that's the government of the US is there. That's who is representing, right? That's what you said. So now we as ambassadors of Christ, when we now engage the culture, as my brother already stated earlier, as he was on the earth, so are we. So we engage with that authority, with that power. And then how do we get this power? By prayer, by communicating with him, by staying in communication. Again, you submit, you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, and you continuously stay in communication. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. We should keep the conversation going. It shouldn't be a haphazard conversation, like we pick it up here and we lift it up there. No, there are certain seasons where you have to spend time and shut everything down. There are certain times when you cannot, you're driving, if you're in the gym, wherever you are, there is a communication that should always continue between you and Holy Spirit, because then he will be able to tell you, this is the way, walk in it. Say hi to this person. This person needs this. Say an encouraging word to this person. Send this person this. It starts flowing through you. You become a vessel that he's being used. In Philippians 4:16, the Bible tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be known. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything.
Come on.
Everything. He didn't say, okay, just pray about the house, pray about the wayward child, pray about the new cars, pray about the business deals, pray about everything.
Right? That's right.
Pray about everything. Holy Spirit, I'm stepping out. Who am I engaging with today? Who are you bringing along my path? He will start to reveal certain things in you, and you pull up on somebody and you just share, and the person will be like, whoa. That's what you were talking about, brother. When we allow him to use us, we are pliable. He's beginning to use us how he sees fit. We don't engage based on, oh, this person has this color scheme. This person is from this nationality. This, no. All of that is not in our eyes because we're allowing him to lead us, bro.
Yes.
Anything else you want to add here, Rev, before I close?
Yeah, a couple of things. I want to read 2 Timothy 3:16-17 again that you read. Mm-hmm. To buttress what I had said earlier about we had these antichrists among us, those that are having a form of godliness that look the part, but are really attempting to divert you from the truth. And the way that you see that and determine that is what we read here in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, where it says that all scripture is God-breathed and is used for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Yes.
So the word is doing the work. It's training you and preparing you to go out into the world to preach, but it's also showing who is and who is not a believer in Jesus Christ. Because if you are not allowing the word to teach you, if you are not allowing the word to rebuke you, to correct you, to train you in righteousness, then you will not be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You will not be operating in the proper posture. And in that space, even if you attempt to go out and teach and preach, you will be leading people astray. You will be handling the word of God deceitfully. So these are the antichrists that are out here saying that they love Jesus, but when you look at their lives and how they live, they look just like the world. They look just like the culture. And it's deception because it looks good. They've got on their Sunday best. They may have a nice large church. They may have the trappings and the look of prosperity. But really, it's all filthy rags because at the end of the day, they are focusing and leading themselves and not being led by the Spirit of God to then be used by the Spirit of God to win souls for the kingdom. So as we close, brother, I want our family to understand this piece. You need to know who you labor among.
Rev, thank you so much for that last powerful impartation. And that last verse, know who you labor among. Because this is collective, right? He didn't say, I'm going to send Sozo, I'm going to send Rev. He's all of us, we're being sent. It's a collective mandate for all Christians. Yeah. So when you bring in that piece now of know who you labor among, it's important for you to check who you are working with. Are they working with you or working against you?
Come on. Rev. And it'll be demonstrated by their actions and the words they speak. We've talked about this offline. You let people talk long enough, they'll tell you everything you need to know. Come on. This is why you need to be slow to speak. Slow to wrath. You need to be listening, paying attention, listening to what they're saying, allowing the leading of the Holy Spirit, the discernment of the Spirit to be able to hear what they're saying. Remember, in a lot of respects, these unbelievers or even believers are still being led by the enemy of their soul because they haven't renewed their mind. There's no renewal process happening. There's a spirit speaking to them, attempting to work through them to come at you as the believer. So you have to be well positioned. And the only way you're well positioned is by being rooted and grounded in the word of truth.
Come on.
Filled by the Holy Spirit of promise, my brother.
Yes, that's it.
That's it.
Thank you, Rev. TSV family, we've been sharing the simple truth that believers in Jesus Christ are simply physically present in the world, but they are not of it. As believers, we should be set apart from the world. We are not supposed to engage in the sinful activities the world promotes, nor are we to retain the corrupt, insipid mind that the world creates. We do this by not conforming, by transforming through the renewing of our minds, as we see in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. This is a daily activity and a commitment to fulfill the mandate given to us by our sovereign King. A transformed Christian transforms the culture. We had an episode on the transformation of a Christian in episode 64. You should take a listen to it. We shared about being, as Christians, we are member of his kingdom. So we are not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven, as Philippians 3:20 tells us. So we should set aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light, as we see in Romans 12:13. And then we should press on, having guided ourselves with the full armor of God. We didn't even talk about this piece, right? Where we dress ourselves up with the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the shoes of peace. That's it. That's how we engage with the culture. Put on the entire armor from head to toe.
Yes.
That's it. That's how you engage. We hope that something we've shared today has dropped in your spirit. And even as you step out now into the world, into your world, whichever part of our physical world you call home, thank God that we have a global audience. So what we are speaking is applicable to any part of the world you live in. The culture shouldn't lead you. You should be leading the culture. You should be engaging through submitting to our sovereign God, through immersing yourself in his truth, which is the word of God, and allowing the leading of his Holy Spirit. Rev, next week Friday, when TSV family joins us for another time of fellowship, what should they expect for episode 67?
Friends, the topic of discussion for the 67th release of your favorite podcast is the fear of God. The lack of reverence, awe, and respect for our sovereign God contributes to the failures we see in our families, the church, and the world. We look forward to you joining us for next week's impartation.
Oh, Spirit of the Living God, you give me so much joy in my heart. Earlier on today, for some reason, he just started sharing about the fear of God. How that means, bro. TSV family, another impactful time is upon us next week, Friday. Join us. Make sure you have your Bibles and your journals with you. If you have to listen while you're driving, that is okay too. Holy Spirit will bring everything we share to remembrance. Let us thank him for a great time together. Spirit of the Living God, we thank you. It is you who equips us to do that which we've been called to do. Even this platform which we bring before you now, it is by your grace alone that we've been able to carry out this work. We don't rely on our strength. We don't rely on our knowledge, for we have none. We rely on you only. As you have called us to go into the world, let us always come back to you to seek direction, to gain wisdom, to be properly equipped, putting on the full armor of God as we engage in the areas where we may struggle or where we have opened a door for the enemy. We ask for forgiveness now. Let us, as a body, as a TSV family, collectively submit to you. And let that humility lead now to an engagement first with you before we even engage the culture within which we live and operate. Father, Lord, as we now step from a Christian and the culture into the fear of God, we thank you for the listeners you've called to this episode and next week's episode as well. We thank you for impacting wisdom upon us as we prepare for next week. We thank you for those that continue to work in the background for bringing this to our audience. And we just thank you for our listeners, old and new. Thank you for what you have called the Rev and I to do. Every time we have an opportunity to, we say thank you for it. It is not lost on us. We're just grateful that you found us worthy to partake in this work. So we lean upon you for strength, for wisdom, for a refreshing of your revelation, a fresh anointing. As we pick up this mantle, we bless you, we worship you, we glorify you, we adore you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, brother.
What a blessing it was for us to commune together during this week's episode. We are so thankful for your steadfast support of the Spoken Verity podcast. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so that we can continue to demonstrate our fervent love and compassion for you, our Holy Spirit-inspired audience, each and every week. The heart of our podcast is to speak verity to aid Holy Spirit's leading of souls to Jesus Christ. If your eternal salvation isn't secure today, we invite you to go to the spokenverity.fm/salvation to accept the leading of Holy Spirit and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Until our next encounter, speak the internal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God, in love. All the blessings.